I am really excited about today, and usually when I get excited, I skip a couple words because I'm just Irish and just kind of, but I can't tell you how elated I am to introduce these guys today. When you run into people who are really intentional about changing lives and who really understand their purpose in their life, and I look at these guys over here and their eyeballs are focused on what's happening, and I just get excited, and I'm just blessed to be a small part of this, and can't wait to hear from our guys today. The North Star coaching staff has some incredible stories and testimonies. They're going to share, each one of these guys, how they came to faith in Christ, how they live out their faith with their teams, and how they can take inspiration from what they've done with each other into your workplace. Coach John Oliver joins FCA Hockey. I remember Rick Randazzo, who put this, orchestrated this whole thing and put it together. And I just applaud. Rick, where are you? Right there. You want to give Rick a round of applause, please? There are a few people in this world that can recognize talent, orchestrate it, put it together, and make it work for the betterment of mankind. And Rick, you've done a wonderful job. I remember he used to talk about his coaching staff, and I was like, oh, come on, Rick. They can't be that good. Trust me, they are. John Oliver joins FCA Hockey with 35-plus years, I think it's 37, of professional college and junior coaching experience. After playing college hockey at Michigan in the old WCHA, J.O. started coaching his career in 84, spent time behind the bench as general manager of, here, get ready for this now, the American Hockey League, the East Coast League, the WCHL, the NCAA, BCHL, and the WSHL. And you look so young. J.O. looks at his coaching career in three stages. 16 years without God, 15 years as a Christian, and the past 5 years as a sold-out believer with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. J.O.'s passion is to help our players.
I agree.
Can I ask you a personal question? And I just get goosebumps right now, but I've just learned at 67 years of age to be able to say that I'm a sold-out believer for Jesus. I'm all in. And it's really amazing when you hear other guys that, and for this, connecting the dots between God and family and hockey and athletics, it's like, it's so good. So anyway, thanks, John, for inspiring us on that. J.O.'s passion is to help our players become the best versions of themselves that they can be, and that starts by having a personal relationships with our Lord and Savior. Tim Jackman, guy on the good-looking guy on the right, is a 9-year National Hockey League veteran and new assistant coach with the North Star Academy in Alexandria. Tim grew up in North Dakota, played his hockey at the University of Minnesota Mankato, and then turned pro shortly afterwards. Tim played for multiple NHL teams over his career, including most notably the Calgary Flames and the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Tim loves the Lord and is passionate about encouraging others in their walk with God. He has a wonderful wife, Chelsea. Chelsea, want to raise your hand? Thank you. And two children. Gary Steffes, the good-looking guy on the left, has played professional hockey for 7 of the last 8 years in the East Coast and American Hockey levels. Gary won 2 East Coast Hockey League championships with the Allen Americans in 15 and 16, while also serving as one of the Americans' captains for each of the last 3 years. The Americans retired Gary's jersey number 12 in November of 17. Gary loves Jesus Christ and now works full-time as the campus director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'm going to turn it over to Gary, and please welcome these young men.
All right. All right. Well, I'm sure I can speak for these guys. We are incredibly blessed by the introduction. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share here today and to be a part of this. The Unity Foundation is definitely an inspirational thing in the community. When I first moved here about a year and a month ago, one of the first things I heard of was that. And I got these little movie tickets from the Unity Foundation to go to the movies for free because they were sponsoring a Christian movie. And just a neat blessing to the community. So thank you so much. And we are honored to be able to share here today and get to just share from our hearts as we sat together in the last 24 hours, 36 hours and talked over the last couple of weeks. We feel like the thing that has been so impactful to us as a staff and something that hopefully can encourage you today is this idea of being transformational. Being transformational coaches, being transformational businessmen and women, being transformational fathers, transformational husbands, transformational influence is what we want to talk about today. And so for me, as we kind of dive into it, I was thinking today kind of about one of our discipleship huddles that we do with FCA Hockey. So one of my responsibilities as the campus director now with FCA Hockey is I get to work with all the pro and college and junior guys all across the world. So on Wednesdays, I meet with a guy in Germany and Finland and a guy from Russia. They all get on this call together. And then the next day, we're meeting with guys in the NHL and the American League. And then we're meeting with college guys and then junior guys. And then we got one of our players leading the high school call. And just it's a neat community of guys. But our big discussion this year is the real win in life. And we're talking about what does it really, really mean to win? And I think in our culture, we get so much pressure to want to make the win a transaction. So for us as coaches, it's how many wins do we have? How many, as an athlete, it's how many stats, how many points do you have? Because if you do really, really good in the eyes of men, then you're a winner. You're succeeding, right? I think for us in business, it might be what's your bottom line? Or how many people do we have come to our church today? Or whatever the outward expression of what the world would deem as success, right? And the world will push us in that way, saying that's the real win. But what God has for us is something so much greater because the real win in life is ultimately how he defines it, right? There was a guy named Thomas Merton who said one time, he said, some people spend their entire life fighting to climb the ladder of success, only in the end to find out the ladder was leaning on the wrong wall. And that quote to me has always hit me really, really hard because I'm like, wow, I really want to be driven to succeed. I think a lot of us do. And that's a gift from the Lord. But what wall are we climbing? What ladder are we climbing? And what we want to talk about today is talking about the right ladder, right? The right wall. And for that, for us, that's transformational coaching. That's transformational influence. And so I'm going to pass it on to these guys and let them share their stories a bit and start diving into to what it means to be a transformational coach and how we live it out with our North Star team. And we'll just kind of, we'll move from there. So here's John Oliver.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. Just very, very thankful to be here today, not just here, but in Alexandria. And what a great lunch, Thanksgiving lunch. Wow, I love Thanksgiving. We could have it more often. I want to just, first of all, for all of you unaware, we have all of our team members here, 22 players here today. You guys want to stand up for a second? Thanks. Thanks for coming. I knew if they came, I'd at least get a few applause today. I knew I'd have some guys in my corner. I just want to tell you, these guys are amazing. Amazing group of young men. They inspire me. I admire them so much for what they're doing at such a young age in their life. I wish I was doing what they were doing their age. Unfortunately, I had no idea who Jesus was at that time of my life. I'll tell you that story in a second. But you guys lift me up. I love this group of guys, so thank you. You know, how I got here to Alexandria, I'll try to be fairly brief. It started for me, I'm Canadian. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. Grew up there. I was a single child, only child. My mother and father were great people, but we had no presence of God in my life. I did not know a God existed. I did not know what a Bible was. My dad was a really good man, president of the Longshore Union. He was a real-life Popeye the Sailor. I mean, he had forearms literally the size of Popeye. And he was a good man. worked really hard, had really good values and integrity, but he really pushed me. I mean, it was all about me accomplishing things, being the best. My dad was a perfectionist. Everything I did had to be perfect. I had to be the best. I remember bringing home a report card one time with 7 A's and 1 B, and I was so excited that I was going to please my dad, and we spent about 20 minutes talking about how I only got a B in one class, what I did wrong. I could never please my father. And I don't ever remember my dad ever telling me he loved me. I knew he loved me. He never missed a sporting event that I went to. But I never felt that love. And it, you know, when I look back now and I understand life so much more because of my life experience, I realize how much that affected me. You know, I was broken. I was this guy that on the outside that looked successful. I got a scholarship to the University of Michigan. I set a BCHL league scoring record that got broke the next day, but is still a league. I had one guy that had one more game to beat it, but it was a record at the time. But I still have the scoring record there. I mean, I was successful by the standards of the world, but I was very insecure, lacked confidence, never felt I was as popular as I wanted to be, that people didn't like me or respect me. And for most of my adult life, that's how I lived, and it affected me. I became a coach. I got married. I went to the University of Michigan. I came back. I was drafted in the NHL, but I didn't play. I married my high school sweetheart, who similarly was from a home with had no presence of God. Two people together that were both broken, that had no presence of God in their life, trying to be successful in the world. We struggled. I tried to be successful. I started coaching at a young age. I didn't coach to impact the lives of other people. I coached because I didn't like working in the real world. I didn't like selling insurance, and I didn't like being away from hockey, and I wanted to have fun in life. I was very much a very selfish person. I was a lover of self. I was a lover of money. I was a lover of pleasure, you know, and I was very insecure, so I needed approval from other people. I needed to win games so that other people, my peers, would, you know, think highly of me, and I guess somehow that I would think I would feel better about myself. My family suffered. I was a absentee father. I worked long hours. I justified it in my mind that I was providing for my family, but really, I was feeding my own insecurities by trying to win games and recruit more players and watch video and get ready for the next opponent, and I was never home. And what I did to, you know, what I ended up doing to my sons is what my father did to me. I repeated that same cycle. What I learned from my dad of how to be a father and a role model and a parent is I pushed them to accomplish things. I didn't show them the love that they needed to, even though I loved them very much and I was very committed to my family. I put accomplishments in it about doing well in school and being the best player, which they did, same as I did. My one son was a first-team All-American. The other one ended up playing in the NHL. But to this day, I do not have the relationship with my children, with my boys, that I wish I had, because I did not give them the love and the approval that they need, which every boy needs, which I've learned. I have closer relationships with some of my players to this day than my own sons, because my sons, they don't know me today, the person I am. They know the person that I was. And so it's improving with time, but that's a big part of my life story. It wasn't until I got to about age 40 and I was coaching professionally in Tacoma that I kind of had it all on the surface. I was a successful coach. I was making six-figure income. I had just built a new home. I had a nice car. We took vacations. I had a beautiful wife. My kids were all successful. Things were good, but there was an emptiness in me. There was like, is this it? I mean, I started asking those questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Every year I climb that mountain again about another hockey season, another, you know, pressure to win. And it was driving me. I felt like one of those mice on a wheel that just runs all the time. I was just exhausted. And I had this desire inside of me to go to church, to go see what it's about. And I went there the first day, and then Pastor Buntain, who really ended up being one of the most influential people in my life, that day talked about how, and I was in Tacoma, Washington, And here's a guy that's a pastor from Winnipeg, Canada, who talks all about hockey at the sermon. And it was like, wow, you know, this can't be a coincidence. Anyway, Pastor Buntain was a great, great man, just radiated love. We became close friends. He would come to the games. He counseled me. It took me a long time, though. I know Gary tells his story how he remembers the day it happened. He fell on his knees and he committed his life to God. For me, it was nothing like that. It was much longer process. It was a long time that before my heart could really accept something that my mind had doubts about. And it was a process, and Pastor Buntain helped me through that process. And so the next few years, from 40 till about 55, I became a believer, and my life got better. It improved. I started to, my priorities changed. I helped more people. I won't tell you all the stories of the different players and people and homeless people that lived at my home. And it was better, but it still wasn't great. It wasn't really until I met Rick Randazzo and FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, this program where Rick actually lived at my house for a month in Idaho. Rick did a 50-month tour where him and his wife, five children, toured the country for basically 5 years. And they stayed at a person's home for an entire month. Gary introduced me to Rick, said he's coming to Idaho. I said, come and stay at my house. And I tell the story, you know, the day he pulled up with his trailer, this van, kids hanging out the windows, and this trailer full of his furniture and files. And, I mean, it was an exciting day. And I said, the only day that was more exciting was the day that trailer pulled out of my driveway. But on a serious note, you know, Rick and I became obviously good friends when you live with somebody. And I watched, I modeled, I saw this guy living out, sold out for Christ, gave up a job in the business world, sold everything he had, and put it all towards his ministry. And I could see the love that he had and the care he had for others and the family he had and the love that those children had for each other. And I wanted that. And I started to really dig deep inside of me and look at my life and look at the people that influenced me. And, you know, through Rick and obviously through my relationship with God and the teachings and Jesus, having a different role model that showed me a different way, which is obviously completely opposite to the worldview of what I'd been living and chasing and trying to be successful in. And so about 6 months ago, Rick invited me to come and coach the team here. And the reason I'm here is because when I really look at myself, I'm still very much someone that's in training. I consider myself a transformational coach, but I'm a young one. I'm an apprentice. I'm still learning. I'm still doing work inside of me. And I'll get to that in a moment. But that's what's brought me here. Number one is the opportunity to work with these men, particularly Rick, to have the opportunity to coach these people and to not only disciple them and mentor them and transform them, but at the same time have the opportunity to keep working on myself so that I can become the best version of myself. Because I cannot help them become the best version of themselves or anyone else or be the leader of my family or resurrect the relationship with my sons until I do the work first on myself. And that's why I've left my wife from Boise and left my home and the comforts of that in Boise on the golf course and my golf membership and all those other things and have moved. And I'm fortunate. I see Eileen here today and her husband Keith have graciously allowed me to stay in their cabins, which I'm very thankful for, and to be able to be here and work at this academy and work with this kids. It's just, I'm so thankful. It's a wonderful community you have here. Some of the nicest people I've ever met. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Tim, and then I'll talk to you again a little bit more about what we're doing here at North Star Christian Academy.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, everybody, for being here and letting me be part of your community. My wife is here, and I saw how many people came and saw our building, the North Star building, and have had invested money and time into that place. Thank you, Gary, for telling me that. But thanks, everybody, for being here and having me here. My story is kind of similar to J.O. Like, I want to answer the question how I got to Alexandria and just tell you a little bit about myself. So I ended up playing in the NHL for 8-9 years, played professional hockey for 14 years, and as far as I remember, I always wanted to be a hockey player. I loved the sport of hockey. I wanted to be a hockey player. And as I got older, I remember in high school, hockey just didn't seem like it was enough for me anymore. I excelled at it, but I always wanted to fit in. So I started doing things that I thought I had to fit in because I just never felt like I was one of the cool guys, never felt like, I never felt like I fit in. So what did I have to do? So I started doing those things. And I was still excelled at hockey. I was still a very good hockey player, and I ended up getting a scholarship to Minnesota State University. And right when I got there, I felt like I was away from home. I'm not in high school anymore. I'm a college guy. I'm free. So I started acting like a college, not a very bright college player, but that's what I started doing. I started doing all the things I thought I had to do to fit into this team, whatever story or whatever I had to do to fit in the locker room. That's what I was there for. And I ended up getting drafted. I ended up getting drafted in the NHL, and I signed a contract after my second year of college hockey. And I go to play pro hockey, and now there's even a bigger picture. Now we're getting paid, and there's a lot of guys like me that are just there, you know, hockey is all we have, and so we're just going to enjoy it, and we're not going to take it very professionally. And I kept doing these things. I kept hanging out at the wrong places. I wasn't focused on hockey. It wasn't enough for me anymore. I had to fit in. I had to find a way to be one of the guys, and I ended up spiraling in such a bad place that I'm supposed to. This is after my third year of professional hockey. I played the majority in the American Hockey League, but I've played a handful, 20-some games in the NHL, been called up, sent down, kind of idea. So now I'm in the I'm supposed to be on a plane this next morning. I'm supposed to get to training camp for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Training camp starts in a week. You get out there a little early. Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL team, they still have my rights. They still own me. And I don't get out of bed. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. My mom, I was 23 at the time. She's like, what's going on here? You got to get on this plane. You have to be to training camp. And I just remember my dad walking in, him losing it. He doesn't know what's going on in my life. I never shared any. I could hide everything. I would tell my dad I was going to work out, and I would go park my truck in the workout facility and take a nap because I was so ashamed of the things that I've done and so ashamed of the person that I was that I just lied about it, and I quit working out and all those things. I was just in a bad place, and I said, I'm done. I quit. I don't want to play hockey anymore. So then, you know, fire alarm went off, and my folks got some people in town, tried to get some help. I had a good buddy that was in the NHL training me. He called the NHL, brought a counselor in, and I talked to him a little bit, but my sister had been going to church. And she walked into the house, and she's like, okay, something's wrong here. We got to get you some help. So she's a counselor at this church. So I go to the counselor getaway that weekend with my sister and a bunch of kids at her church, and I'm like a chaperone, but I'm basically just taking it all in. I'm not really much of an example at that point. So I'm taking it in, and I feel like I finally, something happens where I feel like, I don't know, God's given me another chance here. He gave me another chance. I got some stuff off my heart. And basically, I thought I got a mulligan. So I went back and played hockey. All I did was learn how to get away with it better. This is what I had to do to get away with the things I was doing better. So I go back and I start playing hockey, and I start taking off, and my hockey career goes right up. Now I'm in the NHL. I'm playing in the NHL all the time. I'm having the best year of my career for the Calgary Flames. And one night, nobody knows this, right? Away from the rink, I'm still doing things that would not help your hockey career. And I'm still being a knucklehead, but I'm playing really well. But at home, when I get home to my own place, I get on my knees and I'm like, God, I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. Help me. I can't carry this anymore. I'm tired of trying to fit in. I'm tired of carrying all this. And nothing really happens right then. I keep playing. But the next year, the Calgary Flames bring in a chaplain for the first time. So he gets up at the beginning of the season. I make the team again, and he gets up and he gives this whole spiel about forgiveness and how he's going to talk to us about the Lord and all this stuff. And I'm sitting in the back of the kind of the class thinking, I got this. My sister told me about this a little bit. I got this. But I kept going. There was 10 of us, and I kept going to listen to his talks, listen to his chapels with our team. And one day he comes up to me and says, hey, how about you and me go have a cup of coffee? So I was like, all right, I'll go meet you for coffee. I like coffee. And I sit with him, and I'm so anxious. I'm like, oh, man, a pit in my stomach, I can't even handle it. I'm like, I'm not going to tell this guy any of the junk that's going on in my life, anything. But He keeps showing up. He keeps praying for me. He keeps walking me through things. I remember the first question I asked him was like about the dinosaurs. Like I didn't even wasn't going to share anything that was going on in my heart. I was like asking him questions that were so far out that now I don't even know what the answer is about the dinosaurs. But I don't even really care. I'm just in. And pretty soon I remember I couldn't keep anything in, and he made me feel safe, and he talked about how God loves us and he's for us. And before you know it, I can't keep anything in because I feel so safe with this man. And he's having me over to his house and showing me his family and how he cooks dinner with his family and how they love each other. I'm like, what is this? He was just being an example of what a Christ follower looks like and how to live it out in the life. And I just was like, whatever you have, I want it. Show me, teach me. And I started hanging out with him. And I remember driving with my parents even, and it was like something in my, like I spit all these things that I was doing when I was younger and everything, and I just had to confess everything. And I've talked to our guys on our team about this. When you bring stuff that's dark into the light, it loses its power. And, you know, his name's Rod Swatsky. He's the chaplain for the Calgary Flames. And, you know, he told me the story about when they're training elephants in India, and they're when they're babies, they chain them to like a little chain and a post in the ground with a little chain around their ankle. And as they learn that they can't leave, they're stuck. They're stuck. And these elephants get big and strong and these giant animals. And if one of those elephants is like, this chain can't hold me anymore, and rips that post out of the ground, they have to kill that elephant. They'll never be able to tame them. They'll never be able to train them again. And that's how I felt when I brought that junk to somebody that I trusted. I brought it to the Lord and learned how he forgives me and he's got a plan for me. I don't have to walk. I'm walking in freedom now. And I walk in freedom, and that's what it's about, and that's what I want to teach these guys about, is that you don't have to carry that junk. We don't have to carry that stuff. We're not made for that, and that's kind of how I got here. Well, I guess that's why I'm here, and then how I got here to finish it. 2 years ago, I was coaching at Minnesota State University, Mankato. I finished my pro career. I went back there to finish my college degree and learn coaching. There's some very good coaching staff there, and learn under them because I knew I wanted to get into coaching. And my first year there's a summer camp, and one of the players there, his name's Rylan Gagliardi. His brother was playing for the Calgary Flames with me. We would go to chapel together with Rod Swatsky. So I was like, Rylan, how's your brother doing? Does he still talk with Rod, his name is? Does he still talk with him ever? And he's like, I don't know if he still talks to him too much, but you got to get in touch with this Rick Randazzo. He's in Alexandria. He's starting this new Christian school up in Alexandria. Try to get on his coach's call or something. And I remember calling Rod that day. I don't think I've ever told Rick this story. I was like, Rick, or Rod, can you imagine? So this is Alexandria. My wife's from Fargo. Can you imagine if I was to end up coaching at a Christian school? How bizarre world is that? We both started laughing. Like, you know me 7 years ago? You'd been like, you're doing what? So anyways, I get on the coach's call with Rick and I'm just like, if I get into coaching, I would love to coach with some Christian men. Those are the kind of principles. Those are the kind of people that I would love to be around and learn from. And so I thought I'd get on the call. And, you know, down the road, Rick offered me a position to be part of this team. So anyways, thanks for everything you guys are doing and having me be part of it.
All right. Great. Yeah, so as you can tell, these guys are pretty awesome, pretty special. So in our last 20 minutes here, we want to just transition and talk about how to live transformational coaching, how to live transformational influence. And, you know, I think about one of our last trips, probably one of the best bus trips of my life. I've been on the bus hundreds of hours. I mean, I think I kept track 1 year just to find out what I did. It was like 340 hours 1 year. It's like 14 days and 6 hours or something. It's absurd. And I did that over how many years? You know, just we spent a ton of hours on the bus. And this trip to Chicago was probably one of my favorites I've ever had, because we had seven guys sitting in a circle with me and J.O., and they were practicing sharing their faith with each other, leading each other to Christ. So I'm like, Joey, you got 3 minutes to share the gospel with Talon, because he's wondering what that means and what that is, and he wants to know about Jesus. And so you have 3 minutes. And all of a sudden he starts sharing, okay, the gospel means good news, and this is why it's good news, because God created us for a relationship with him, but man sinned, and we were separated from God, and there's wrath that is coming upon everybody that has sinned and been separated, but God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose from the dead, and we can have a relationship with him forever if we'll confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead. And these guys are like talking to each other, leading each other to Christ, and then it's Jackson's turn, and then it's Talon's turn. It was an unbelievable 3 hours for me. And it was so much fun. But the point is hockey is not the end-all be-all for us. Hockey is our tool to impact other people's lives, to impact these men so that they can become incredible fathers and husbands one day, so that these men will be the world changers and the leaders they were created to be. And the way that it applies to all of us is that every one of us in our work context, whatever we do, that's not what defines us. Right? What we do is our opportunity, our vehicle, our tool to go and impact the people in our life for Christ and to go and influence and encourage and meet their needs and bless them in some way. Every day we have an opportunity to bless. We've been gifted. Every one of us has gifts, and when we use those gifts to the best of our ability, we honor God and we impact lives. Right? So I'm going to pass this back to J.O. He's going to talk a little bit from his heart about transformational coaching, but that's our heart here at North Star.
Thanks, Gary. I think we're all talking fast. We know we have to be done by one here. We got three people up here going, man, we better be quick here. Great. I was there when Gary was with those guys. I felt like I was sitting in front of Jesus talking to his disciples. Honestly, it was an amazing experience what Gary was doing training those guys. Again, I was saying before, the reason that I'm here, my motivation was really to come and to continue to work on myself. I think part of becoming a transformational coach is that the coach himself has to be transformed first. And for me, that doesn't happen overnight. It's work in progress. I think I've made great strides, but I still have a lot of work to do. I want to read to you for a minute, just quickly, what a transformational hockey coach is. A transformational coach is coaching is their calling, not their profession. They're men of God. They're other-centered, not self-centered. They have a very high personal value system. Their definition of success differs from the worldview. Their first priority is to build men of character and integrity. They coach out of love. They put relationships ahead of accomplishments. They show players how to connect their minds to their hearts. They build self-esteem and self-worth. They are role models. They are mentor leaders first, hockey coaches second. They are countercultural, and they reframe for their players a new definition of masculinity. Like our master coach, Jesus Christ, they are servant leaders. And lastly, they disciple players spiritually so they can share the gospel with others. And I think we saw Gary doing that on the bus, and it was awesome. So for me, my biggest challenge is to, as I said, be different from my worldview that I grew up with all of my life. Even though I understand now, I think all the dots start to connect as I read the Bible. And I see the transformation of my life, and I see the changes when that transformation happens. 3 years ago, I guess I had a Swedish player play on my team in Idaho. And at the end of the season, I did a year-end meeting with him, Victor Carlson. He didn't want to go to school. I convinced him to go to university. And as we hugged, because he knew we were not going to coach each other again, he started sobbing in my arms. And here's a guy, I couldn't hug somebody 10 years ago. It was uncomfortable for me to hug somebody and show that emotion and that love. I wasn't filled with God's love. And now I've got a player that I've just coached for 1 year is sobbing in my arms because of the impact, the relationship we had, that he knew we wouldn't see each other as often. And I don't take the credit for that. That is all God working through me. That is God's love. I had a heavenly experience a number of years ago in Idaho when I was coaching in pro hockey, and I had Billy Tibbetts live at my house, who had spent time in prison and was a very broken person. And he had no presence of God in his life, and I was discipling him, and I woke up one night and God spoke to me. I felt God's love like in a way that I can't put it into words. You cannot express to you this feeling of love that was through my body, and it took me a while to come to consciousness. And God spoke to me and said, John 4:16, take this message to Billy Tibbetts right now. And Billy was in my basement sleeping, and it was like 4 a.m, and I'm had to get dressed, and I had to run to my car first of all to get a Bible. And at that time, I didn't know scripture. I didn't read it. It took me a while to find the verse. And I took it downstairs, and I read it to Billy. And, you know, a couple of years passed, 3 years passed, and I started to doubt, did that really happen? I mean, did God really speak to me? You know, and I was watching a show, and they were interviewing this nun who was extremely knowledgeable, like the smartest theological person I've ever listened to, like just so smart. And the end of the conversation, the interviewer asked her, for our listeners that don't know Jesus, who is he? And she paused literally for a minute, and she said, the best description I can give you of Jesus is John 4:16. And that verse says, God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Rick is pointing 1 John, okay, which is true. Because the first couple of Johns I read, I go, this doesn't make any sense to me. That's true. I read, I go, God, you didn't wake me up for this, did you? I didn't think it. But honestly, it didn't make sense. And then I read 1 John 4:6, and I was like, wow, a light bulb came on. And for me, that's really what God is for me. God is love. God is my power source. When I pray and I'm in close fellowship with God, my heart is full of love. I have so much love for my family, for my players, for my friends, for my parents. And everything is just in perfect balance. Doesn't matter what happens in the day. It doesn't affect me, you know. And I'm so thankful for that. But I also, some days, I get away from that. And when I do, it changes. I miss it. You know, for me, it's about changing my priorities in life, changing my view on what's important, my definition of success. What is that? It's not the worldview anymore. It's not about accomplishments, status, material gain, degrees, trophies, image, status. It's about relationships. And those are built on love. Love and trust and respect and value, making you feel better. I never felt valued. I never felt I could gain my Father's approval. And now I have my Heavenly Father's approval. And it's so different. I'm more relaxed. I can speak up here. And I'll be honest, I do care what you think. I hope you don't leave today going, man, that guy was awful. You know, I do care, but it doesn't matter as much to me what other people think. I only have to please my Father. And I know, I'm going to wrap it up. I know that as I turn 60 this summer, and as you get older, you realize that the day is coming when we're going to leave this earth, and we're going to be in God's presence. And I think about that day, and I think about that moment when I'm looking at God face to face, and I want that meeting to be special. I want it to be a meeting where God looks at me and says, you know, John, I'm glad that we can finally meet face to face. I'm so proud of you, of the life you've lived. That is my goal in life, to please God now. And to do that, though, I still have work to do. And I know if God decides it's my time and he'll take me tomorrow, that'll be it. But I hope he doesn't, because I still have work to do. And I still hope that as I become the best version of myself, that my relationship with my sons will change and they will see me the way that my players here see me. And so I'm so thankful to be here in Alexandria. I'm so thankful to Rick and all the people, Tim, Brent, all the people that have made this North Star Christian Academy possible. I want to tell you, these are special men. They are humans, though. They do make mistakes. I heard some people say, those guys, they're hypocrites. We heard these guys were doing something over there. And it's true. Like, our guys are human. They make mistakes. But they're in training. And I will tell you, they are some of the most special young men that I have ever met, and I'm so proud to coach them. So thank you for this time today, and with that, I'll turn it over here to Tim.
Thanks, J.O. Yeah, that's good. I think about, you know, I told you how I got here. Now, why am I here? Why am I here? Why did I take this coaching position at a Christian academy? And I think the real reason, or the real reason is my heart breaks for guys now that were in my shoes, and I feel like I can relate to them. Last year I was coaching at Minnesota State University. I would see a guy who was, you know, smashing his stick when something went wrong, or being, you know, a selfish teammate, or showing up late for practice, or not going to school, and I was like, that's what I did. I mean, I was that kid in college, and my heart breaks for him, so I wanted to meet with him. So I would go have a coffee with him, just like Rod had a coffee with me, and I would try to sit across from him and share my story with him, share my experiences, and say, hey, I get that. This way to life. You know, I've done that. You can go your way, but I'm telling you, if you come this way, because I've done it, there's more life here. You know, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly. I think of that. Like, there's life, there's freedom, there's joy here. And it's hard, but I try to, that's one reason I'm here, to help these guys. And if I see that, I can relate to them and tell them, hey, I was in your shoes. And the other reason I'm here is to try to train them and equip them, like J.O. is saying. You know, I didn't have that language. I didn't have Christ in my heart when I was playing pro hockey for a lot of the time of my career. And I didn't have that language to say, hey, you know what, that's not for me. I want to be obedient to the Lord. Hey, I'm still your teammate. I love you. But, hey, that's just not for me. I didn't have that. I didn't have those words to say to a guy. And now when these guys go on and play, you know, because peer pressure is hard. Peer pressure in the locker room, it's hard. If you don't trying to fit in, you know, there's something wrong with you, and we want to equip them so when that they do get in those situations that they're prepared. You know, Gary does a great job, J.O. does a great job sharing their stories and trying to help them come up with ways like that. So those are some transformational things that we're trying to do, and basically is just trying to model, like Rod modeled for me, like Rick's modeling for us, like these guys, we're trying to be examples for these guys and let them know that there's a better way to do things. And you know, I praise God that I only scraped my knees and didn't break my neck. And now I get to try to hopefully share that with these guys to go this way. And we push these guys, too. They're striving for excellence. It's pretty neat. I didn't have this. And we do a devotion every morning at 7 a.m. That's kind of the first thing. And it was neat because the first 4 days, all us coaches led one. And now these guys have taken over and they're leading it. And you know, that was one story about the bus trip with Gary. That was an amazing story. There's some other highlights. We were in Blaine probably a month ago, and we had a 7 o'clock game. So we get a continental breakfast when we're on the road, but the continental breakfast doesn't open until 6. So we got to leave at 5:30 to get to the rink to get our gear set up. And so one of the ladies who works there, who does the continental breakfast, she got up that morning and came in at 5 and opened it just for our team. And J.O., we were all thankful. J.O.'s like, let's pray for her. So our guys all put their arms around each other and put their arms around her. And one of our players, Nate Albers, stepped up and prayed over this woman. And who knows what's going on in her life and who knows how she's doing. But to see that, to be part of that, that's different than other hockey places I've been in. So, again, I'm thankful. These guys are really stepping up and doing some amazing things. And I'm thankful to be their coach and part of this.
It's awesome. All right, so in closing, as we kind of wrap everything up, if we were to sum all this up, I think it comes down to a couple things. First, we got to redefine success, right? In our lives, our application point here is that we need to redefine success. It's not about the outward appearance, right? It's about the heart. Right? Redefine success. It says in 1 Samuel 16:7, God looks not as man sees. Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. He looks on the stats. They look on the power, the influence, the status, the bottom line, the amount of people that are in the seats, the amount of wins you have, the points you have. The world looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. So for us, the first thing is we got to redefine success. The second thing is it's about relationships. It's about relationships. I listen to these guys talk, and I think about myself, too. Just success lies in relationships. And every one of us, no matter what context of work we have or what we do, whether we're a stay-at-home mom or whether we're leading a business or whether we're a hockey coach, relationships with the people in our life, with our kids, to people next door, to the people at church, to people at our businesses, it's about relationships and influencing their life in some way. Right? Redefining success in relationships. If we can take that away today and recognize that there's more to life than just what meets the eye, the real win lies in the heart. It lies in following Christ. It lies in honoring Him, redefining success and relationships. So thank you for having us today. We love being here. We love this community. Hope you'll come be a part of some stuff over at the complex. Please come, bring your kids, be a part of things. We want to have that be a place where this community can really encounter the Lord and also grow together and be strong together. And we are very, very thankful to be here. So thanks for having us today.